So yesterday I registered some complaints about my seminar and that I didn't give any aids, and therefore people are bewildered. And the purpose of this seminar is not to bewilder you. So I tried to somehow or other correct myself. I made this little chart, which you see, and which we basically explained yesterday, but we can go over it again to get more clear idea what's going on. So it is explained again and again, not only in the Vedas, but in other scriptures of the world, that sound is the first material element. And basically that the sound is the substance from which this whole material world is made. Like in ancient Egypt, it was said that word was the original matter, original thing from which everything was done. And also we see in the Bible, in the Testament, New Testament, they said that first there was a word, and from this word, from Logos, everything was made. Which is, of course, a Greek philosophy. And in so many other ways, this very same idea is expressed. But in Vedas, we have much more complete and satisfactory information about the creation of the world and about this original world, which was there in the beginning. Nowhere you will hear this word. And this word, as we know, the sound vibration, the original, primordial sound vibration, which is still there and which is still the original sound of this universe, is this sound Om. We can chant it together. Don't think I will be able to explain more in more details today, but maybe tomorrow we will go into it. But in any case, this Om is the first sound, and then it is said in the Vedic literature that later on this Om, which has these three sounds, A, U and M, and then Bindu, this last nasal sound or this dot. If you saw the description of Om in Sanskrit, there is this Aum and this, and then moon, and over the moon, crescent moon, over the moon there is this dot, which is Bindu, which is the last sound, which is very essential and very important. In fact, Krishna calls himself in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, or 11th canto, sorry, in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he calls himself Nadatma. And Nada means sound. Atma means the end of the sound. He says, when the yogi meditates on this sound Om, I appear where? At the end of the sound. When you pronounce the whole thing, that at the end, I am waiting for you. I am ready to shake your hands. You know, I am there at the very end of this sound vibration, which is even after Bindu, after this very subtle vibration which vibrates here in this Sahasrara chakra. But in any case, it is said that first this Om to create this world expanded into the three spheres of creation, which are explained here as Bhu, Bhuvah and Svah. This is three spheres of creation, is the creation of this original sound, Om. And basically this spheres, the more and more subtle creation. This universe is not all consist of, not consist just of the gross matter, it consists of more subtle matter. So Bhuvah is basically this, Bhuvah is the mental plane. And Svah is a higher plane of existence where Brahma and higher demigods are living. So accordingly, This is universe, and on the level of microcosm, we have the same kind of creation, which also a creation of this primordial sound, Om. Gross body, which is called Stula Deha, subtle body, Sukshma Deha, causal body, Karana Deha, which is the equivalent of intelligence, or Buddhi, and finally, spiritual body, Siddha Deha. And then we have, again, in the Vedic philosophy, these three states of existence, Jagrata, Svapna, and Sushupti, waking state, dreaming state, deep sleep, and finally, spiritual reality, which is called Turiya. And in correspondence with this, there are these four levels of sound, which I was trying to explain yesterday, this science of sound, about Vaikari Vak, Madhyama Vak, Pashyandi Vak, and Paravak. Gross sound, which we pronounce, mental sound, the sound of our thoughts and idea or image, Pashyanti Vak, and finally Paravak, transcendental sound, which is the original sound. So accordingly, there are three different kinds of energies, material energies, which are invested into this sound. And in the Vaikari Vak, or the gross sound, the Kriya energy, or creative energy invested, energy of knowledge is invested into Madhyama Vak, or mental sound, and in the Pasyanti Vak, Ichha Shakti, or energy of desire, is invested. And then, of course, there is transcendental energy, which is explained below. And for this explanation, I will dwell a little bit more, because everything else we have already explained. And I will not go into details yet. And then there is processes of yoga, of course, we know. And it's also interesting that there is a correlation or comparison between the processes of yoga and the levels of existence and levels of development. And I will also tell something about it, explaining one verse from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which deals with it. But a very interesting point here, again coming back to the 15th chapter, which is very essential for our discussion here. Srila Prabhupada explains that this whole creation of the material world, this tree of material world, is the reflection of the real tree. Because the branches are, you know, it's everything is upside down here, right? The roots are growing upwards and the branches are growing downwards. So it's a reflection. Srila Prabhupada explains that you can see this reflected tree on the surface of the pond. So where does this world, where is this? It's a reflection of the reality, of the real reality. So what is this water which reflects this tree? How this tree comes about? What is this water? Huh? Yeah. The water of desire. This is a very, very significant point. The water of selfish, egoistic desire is ultimately the root cause or whatever of this creation, of this upwards creation. And therefore, if you go again to this most subtle Vakshakti, still within the material frame, you see this Ichha Shakti invested in it. Ichha means desire. The energy of desire is there. And from this, the whole realm of material existence is expanding. So, and then there is, of course, we know that transcendental energy also has three aspects or three divisions. What are these divisions? They're listed below. This is Sandini Shakti, and Samvit Shakti, and Vladini Shakti. The Sandini Shakti, which corresponds to the aspect of Absolute Sat, and then Chit energy, or Samvit Shakti, and then finally Vladini Shakti, the energy of bliss, or Ananda. And then there is a very essential verse from Svetashvatara Upanishad, which Srila Prabhupada quotes very, very often, which is our main pramana for personal God, our main proof that God is person. Who knows what is the main proof from Upanishads, from the original Vedic literature? You know? No. No. Parasya Shaktir Vidarya Srivate Svabhaviki Bhavadhyana Kriyacha. So God has energies, because personal God means impersonal God, someone who doesn't have energies. He is useless. This is Brahman. But person God, the main distinction between us, Vaishnavas or personalists, and impersonalists who do not accept the existence of the personal God, is this very point, whether God has energies or he doesn't have energies. So, parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate svabhaviki bala jnana kriya cha. Yesterday, Radhikraman Prabhu, he was explaining a little bit, he touched this. He said that energies of the Lord, when he was reading the definition of God, of Bhagavan, from Bhagavad Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, there is a mention that the definition of the energies of the Lord, they are svabhaviki, they are natural, they are not external for him, they are something inherent in his nature. So, and in this particular verse, these three energies are being mentioned, bala, jnana, and kriya. And they correspond to more familiar for us terminology, sandini shakti, sandit shakti, and vadini shakti. Bala is this energy, and bala, what it means bala? Strength. Bala means which strength? Spiritual strength, yes. Bala is this spiritual strength, which is the first energy of spiritual creation. This is the energy which is the foundation of the spiritual creation. This is the very beginning or foundation of spiritual creation, which is bala, or spiritual strength. So, this is a very essential point, because yesterday we were talking about this point that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, asvathamenam suvirudam ulam asanga sastrena dridena chitva, how we can cut off this tree of material existence. So, the key is here in this word bala. Because bala or sandini shakti, who represents bala or sandini shakti? Balaram. Lord Balaram, yeah, naturally so. Yeah. Tapas problem, you got the point. Balaram is this manifestation of spiritual strengths. And Balaram is whom? Also manifestation of the original. Yeah. Original Guru, original spiritual master. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, Krishna also very beautifully and very cryptically explains this. There is a very esoteric verse which is not often explained, where Krishna says, Balam Balavatam Chaham Kamaraga Vivarjitam. Balam Balavatam Chaham, I am the strength of the strong. Who are the strong people? Kamaraga vivarjitam, who can do what? Who can relinquish, who can give up kama and raga. This is the spiritual strength. Krishna is not saying I am the strength of those who are, you know, lifting the heavy weights. You know, I am the muscle strength in these guys who only have muscles and no brain. He says, bala, balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam, those who are capable of relinquishing, giving up this kama and raga, cutting off this kama and raga. I am this bala. This bala is the strength by which we can cut off this tree of material existence. And we see that this Ichha Shakti is the last or the first, the subtlest Shakti of material existence. And we can, conquer over this Ichha or material desire with the help of bala, spiritual strength. And from whom this bala is coming? From the spiritual master, yes. From the spiritual master this strength is coming. He is the source of this spiritual energy, who can give us the strength to conquer over this entanglement, or undo this material entanglement in this material world. And what is Balaram? What is the main teaching? Where is the source of this bala, spiritual energy? What is main teaching of Balaram? How? What is his manifestation? What is he doing in the spiritual world? What is this foundation of the spiritual world? He is famous for what? For service, yeah. He is the supreme personality of servitorship God.
He's serving Krishna in all capacities. It's called unreserved service. Balaram is the manifestation of this unreserved, unlimited service. Therefore, he is called Ananta Shesh. Ananta means unlimited. And it's also very interesting and very significant point. He's called Ananta Shesha. And I will explain now what Shesha means. Does anyone know what Shesha means? No. It has nothing to do with Vishesh. Shesha means, literally means the limit or remnant or leftover. But the spiritual meaning of this word, which is very prominent in Ramanujacharya Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya at length goes to this quality of jiva. He says that the original quality of jiva is Sheshatva, which is coming from Shesha, from Balaram. Sheshatva means the one whose existence is for the sake of others. If we go deep inside our heart, we very quickly and very easily will be able to recognize, this is what is my existence all about. I'm not living, it's boring to live for ourselves, isn't it? Did you try it? It's useless, it's hopeless, there is no juice in it. So the very nature of the living entity, which are ultimately the expansions of Balaram coming down the road, so to speak, is that they're living for the sake of Krishna. Krishna is this self-sufficient identity, self-sufficient person, original person from whom everything is coming. But this Balaram, who is Ananta Shesh, his service or his desire to serve Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, he is called Ananta Shesha. And this is basically where this Bala of spiritual strength is coming from. The Bala of spiritual strength is coming from this very point. If I understand that I have to live for the sake of Krishna, I have to live for the sake of service. This is the essence, the very juice of my life, of my existence. Then only I will get the spiritual strands, which will be enough to cut off this tree of material existence with the sword of knowledge. Also, Srila Prabhupada explains it in one of the purports in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says that the spiritual master gives you the sword of knowledge, and he not only gives you the sword or sword, sword, but he also gives you the strands to cut it. And the strength is coming from this understanding of service. And that's basically what is happening when we serve Krishna or try to serve Krishna through this chanting of sound vibration. As I explained yesterday, and it's very clear from this little chart, which I perhaps even explain a little more today, that ultimately the chanting of the holy name changes our desires. It goes that deep that it may change our desires, selfish, egoistic desires. And this is why the sound vibration or the process of chanting of Hare Krishna mantra or any Vedic mantra, in fact, is so powerful. Sukadeva Goswami also explains this, and Srila Prabhupada explains this when he says that prayaschita or any other method of purification or rectification doesn't go deep enough to change the desires. It may change, it may purify you from some sinful reactions which you acquired by committing sinful activities, but the desires remain the same, and therefore you will commit the same activity again and again and again. Jiva Goswami explains this in Bhakti Sandarbha. He says, offenses create the desire to sin. If you create offenses, if you commit offenses, and especially offenses against the holy name, or offenses in a spiritual practice, or any offenses, it creates the desire to sin. And then he says, however, by chanting the holy name, offenses and sinful desires are both destroyed. This is the meaning here, he says. He stresses this point that by chanting of the holy name, the sinful desires are being totally destroyed. And I was trying to explain this point yesterday by saying or by explaining this process of reversing the material creation.
The material creation goes from subtle to gross, and we have to reverse this process. So I will continue. This was a little introduction to today's lecture. And I will continue now with very interesting material for today. Hopefully I will be able to cover it. First I will read Prabhupada's purport, which explains this. It's from the 3rd canto, 26th chapter, where Prabhupada says, the verse first, when egoism and ignorance is agitated by sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sex energy here is Kama Shakti, and the energy of desire. The subtle element, sound, is manifested, and from sound come the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport to this verse. He says, it appears from this verse that all the objects of our sense gratification are products of egoism in ignorance. It is understood from this verse that by agitation of the element of egoism in ignorance, the first thing produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. It is stated also in Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of all objects of material possession, and that by sound one can also dissolve this material existence. Anavriti Shabdat means liberation by sound. The entire material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. The particular sound capable of doing this is the transcendental vibration Hare Krishna. Our entanglement in material affairs has begun from material sound. Now we must purify that sound in spiritual understanding. This is also very important. Now we must purify that sound in spiritual understanding. Tomorrow I will explain a little bit about this. There is sound in the spiritual world also. If we approach sound, then our spiritual life begins. And the other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. So, again, very essential point. The gradual progression of the spiritual progress or spiritual life, first by approaching the sound, and then other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. And I will speak a little bit about this today. If we approach the sound, then our spiritual life begins, and our requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. We have to understand very clearly that sound is the beginning of creation of all material objects for our sense gratification. Similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities are also produced from sound. So, it will be a little difficult material today, but I will try to make it a little easier. But it is very, very important. So, in the same chapter which I explained yesterday from Srimad Bhagavatam, from 11th canto, 12th chapter, the same analogy or the same metaphor is given as in the 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam about the tree. Exactly the same energy. It is analogy. It is said that this tree of material existence has two seeds, hundreds of roots, three lower trunks and five upper trunks. So it's a banyan tree, it's a big tree. It produces five flavors, has 11 branches, and nest made for two birds. This is the nest with two birds. This tree is covered by three types of bark, gives two fruits, and extends up to the sun. And so on and so forth. This whole description is there, this whole analogy, in the same chapter is there. And then it is said, with steady intelligence, you should develop an alloyed devotional service. Again, this point of intelligence is stressed here. By careful worship of the whom? Spiritual master. Yes. The same very idea is expressed in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. With steady intelligence, you should develop an alloyed devotional service by careful worship of spiritual master. And with the sharpened axe of transcendental knowledge, you should cut off the subtle material covering of the soul. Upon realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should then give up that axe of analytic knowledge.
So there is gradual progression, which is very essential for this process of liberation. And I will explain a little bit about this now. So I will take the next verse from the 12th. That was the last verse from this 12th chapter. And the 18th verse, yesterday we covered the 17th verse. And the 18th verse, I will not read it, I will just explain it. In the 18th verse gives, again, very interesting analogy. As I said, this whole story in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining how Krishna answered the question of Uddhava. Uddhava said, "I'm bewildered, Krishna. You know, you totally, completely bewildered me. You know, you said, do this and do this and do this. Please tell me very clearly, what should I do?" And then Krishna pronounced this verse, which we covered yesterday, about the material creation. And then he says that, then he gives another comparison. He says, here you are. This whole material creation is already there. What you should do with this material creation? He says, you should burn it down. This whole material creation is already there, you should burn it. How you burn it? What you should use for burning the material creation? Fire, yes. How you get the fire? You take the matches, so you get the lighter. In the Vedic tradition, there is these two Arani woods, right? One Arani wood and then another Arani wood on the top. And you stir the Arani wood, which on the top. You make this, you rub them, vigorously rub. So Krishna says to Arjuna, to Uddhava, you start vigorously rubbing this Arani woods. And by this vigorously rubbing of Arani woods, because there is some sound in between them, this is also essential element of this comparison. What will happen?
Spark.
You will get the spark. And then when you get the spark, what you do? Yeah, you pour what? You pour ghee. Right. And Krishna says, exactly in the same way, I will appear from the Vedic sound. Exactly in the same way. Exactly by as you rub, the spark will be there, and if you pour the ghee at that moment, then I will appear as the fire appears in that time. So the explanation here is very, very interesting and very, very significant for us to understand. What Krishna says here, in fact, he says, when you rub, and rub means, and he says vigorously rub means you do what? You work, you sweat, you know, you vigorously rub, and it just doesn't really appear immediately. And what is it for? What does it stand for? This hard, hard labor. If you follow the Vedic path, what first thing you should do? What is this hard labor? Sacrifice, yes. Basically, it may mean sacrifice. It may mean you go out on the streets and do Sankirtan Yagya. It means you should work following the directions of the spiritual master of the Vedas. You should work. First thing you should work. First thing is karma yoga. But you do it not for yourself. You do it because you want some fruits, because you want to do this, you know, you have this selfish motivation. First you work. First you have to sweat. This is very essential beginning of the spiritual path. Unless you sweat, you will not achieve anything. But then by this sweating, the reward of this sweating is what? Spark. What is the spark? What is the spark? Knowledge, yes. By reward, if you do it properly, if you really, you know, work hard, and if the spark appears, the spark is the knowledge. You know, your karma have to bring you to the level of knowledge. And at that moment, what you have to do? You have to pour ghee, and you have to pour and pour and pour and pour ghee. It is explained by Siddharaswami that Havisha Samedate means pouring ghee on the fire indicates the progressive advancement of Vedic sacrifice In other words, what is Krishna explaining here, that the normal way of the Vedic sacrifice, and actually he's explaining to Uddhava his bewilderment. Krishna said, I explained to you the whole Vedic path, which you don't necessarily have to traverse within one lifetime. You know, you start from working, you start from Varnashrama, then you go to Jnana Yoga, you get little spark of spiritual knowledge, little understanding that there is spirit behind this matter. And then you pour ghee, and then you continue the sacrifice. And when the sacrifice reaches the culmination, the pinnacle, what is the sacrifice? What is the highest sacrifice? Yeah, the highest sacrifice or the highest process is Bhakti Yoga. Actually, what Krishna is explaining here, that when you pour the ghee, when you continue sacrifice, don't stop the sacrifice, just continue the sacrifice, ultimately you will come to the point of bhakti, to real bhakti. Not just theoretical bhakti, but the bhakti will appear here. And in this moment, I will appear. Exactly in the same way from the Vedic sound, I will appear. So, but I won't, and it's also interesting. Anyway, I don't tell this, maybe later on I'll tell this about Kama Varunendra Rudra. But it's, will come closer to our particular subject matter. And for that, I will take another example from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. In Shvetashvatara Upanishad, exactly the same comparison is given. Again, we are talking with you now how to get Krishna from the fire of sacrifice, how to understand Him. And Krishna in Shvetashvatara Upanishad, He says, I am everywhere, right? As much as the fire is everywhere. Fire is everywhere, right? He is in the fire is in this wood, fire is in the floor, fire is everywhere. The element fire is everywhere. And Krishna says, I am everywhere as much as the fire is everywhere. But how you get the fire, how you get me in person? The same thing. The same comparison is given. You should rub. What you should rub? He says more specifically here, you should make your body as the lower Arani wood. As the Arani wood which is there. And you should make the sound Om as the higher Arani wood. The Arani wood which is up there. And you should rub. What it means you should rub? Chant. You should chant. Om, 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 Om. Not exactly like this. There's love and devotion. With extreme, you should chant. So it is explained, as the firewood cannot be seen, although it's present everywhere, the Supreme Personality of God, it cannot be seen, also He is also present. The fire is manifest by rubbing sticks together. So the Supreme Personality of God is manifest by chanting the sacred syllable Om. So this is how it's, and He said, making your own body, your one's body, the lower Arani stick, and the sacred syllable Om, the upper Arani stick, and rubbing them together in a trance of meditation, you may see the Supreme Personality of God. As by rubbing two sticks, you may see the hidden, the fire hidden in the wood. This is a very interesting comparison, because again, rubbing means hard labor, and rubbing means the impediments. Why you should do it again and again and again? Why you should really labor so hard? Because there are some internal impediments which you have to overcome by this process of rubbing. Krishna, and first, you know, you rub, and before the spark, what comes? The smoke, yeah. And the smoke, it's terrible smoke. You rub, and instead of some fire, you get the smoke. So you rub, you chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But instead of Krishna, you get the smoke, you know. And you have the tears in your eyes, not because of ecstasy, but because of the problems which are there, which are coming up. And that's what you get, basically. So... So I will today deal with this particular subject matter of the impediments, of the problems which arises in the process of chanting. Why the, and how the process works and what we should do for this. It's also in Mundaka Upanishad, there is another beautiful description about this chanting of this sacred sound. It is said there that Om is the bow. The sound Om, or mantra, is the bow. And then your soul is the arrow. And then you should take this bow, string the bow, put your soul, and release it. And then it will hit what?
Brahman.
Yes, it will hit Krishna. So, but for that, to hit the target, Krishna or Brahman is lakshya, it's the goal. But to hit the target, the soul should be sharpened. How you sharpen the soul, how you sharpen this arrow? By concentration, by meditation. You should really concentrate, this is the hint here. If you want to hit the target, if you want to reach Brahman, if you want to reach this spiritual goal, you really have to meditate and concentrate. But at the same time, it's interesting, Krishna says, among all the sacrifices, I am which sacrifice? Japa, I am Japa. And Prabodhananda Sarasvati, in his commentary to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, explains why. He says, why Japa is the best of the sacrifices? Who knows? Why it is the best? Why it's Krishna? Prabodhananda Sarasvati says, it's the best sacrifice because the results are coming easier and more quickly than in any other sacrifice. It's much more easy sacrifice. Did you notice it? It is. He says that the fruits of this sacrifice will come much easier and much quicker, much faster than in any other sacrifice. Therefore, Krishna says, I am this sacrifice. So now we will deal. And also, Jiva Goswami in Satsandarbha, he explains this power of mantra. He says, the mantra is so powerful, even if you do it offensively, it will work. Even if you chant it offensively, it still will work. And he gives an example from one Purana, from Vishnu Dharma Purana. And the story from this Vishnu Dharma Purana is amazing. There was a Brahmana, and once this Brahmana was walking in the dark, and there was a Brahma Rakshasa, huge demon. And this demon ran to devour this Brahmana. He wanted to devour this Brahmana. And in this very moment, the Brahmana chanted mantra. And to protect himself, he chanted mantra. So what happened with this demon, then the demon, he stopped immediately. Because the Brahmana was protected by this mantra. And the demon said to this Brahmana, I wanted to eat you, but somehow or other, you protected yourself with this mantra. Oh Brahmana, by touching this mantra, I suddenly have become pure in heart. In other words, what this demon says, you know, I wanted to eat you. I heard this voice of mantra, and immediately the desire to eat you disappeared from my heart. I had the desire, but it's vanished. And then he said, what mantra did you chant to protect yourself? I do not understand it. I do not understand its power. By touching it, I have become free from all material desires. Just by touching it, my material desire is to eat you, which is a very strong desire, as you all know, disappear from the heart. So Jiva Goswami, he quotes this example or this funny story to prove how powerful it is. And he also gives some other quotes. He gives the quote about this mouse. As we know, the mouse somehow or other was burnt in the ghee. And this mouse became a very pious queen in the next life. And this pious queen, somehow or other, she had a habit to offer the lambs to the deity in the temple. You know, she remembered what saved her. And after being this pious queen, she get released. And he quotes so many other stories how powerful the mantra is. But still, at the same time, we know that despite of the power of this mantra, we don't get it immediately. So, and this is also very beautifully and very importantly for us, there is a very important explanation of this mechanism given by Jiva Goswami and his Bhakti Sandarbha. So first he explains that why we are not purified and our heart is still not pure despite of chanting for so long. Who can say whose heart is not pure? Please raise your hands. Right? Why? You know, this demon Rakshasa, he just came closer to Brahmana who was chanting and he was purified in heart. Why? There is a very significant reason for this. Because the desires are coming constantly again within our heart through the media of what? Yes, through the media of material sounds. We hear these material sounds, and these material sounds, they carry with them material objects. And when we hear about these material objects, the desire comes. Like, you know, we all know this process, the advertisement. What is the basis of advertisement? You know, Coke. Coca-Cola, you know, the heavenly drink, you know. You don't need somaras, just drink Coca-Cola and you will be happy. And somebody half naked kisses somebody who is also half naked. And you think, you know, this is far out, just by drinking Coca-Cola I can become like him. So the sound, the material names, they carry with them the material objects. And when we hear, and we constantly hear these material sounds again and again and again, Coca, Pepsi, you know, this cigarette, that cigarette, this and that, and you know, we're constantly being bombarded by the sounds of material world. And what is happening when we constantly hear this, and when we hear this, the sense objects basically are coming within our consciousness with the sounds. Constantly and seducing us, trying to seduce us again and again and again. Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Manas Shiksha, he compares the material sounds. Who knows with whom he compares the material sounds? He compares the material sounds with the prostitute. He said, Asad Varta Veshya. And it's very significant explanation to this comparison. Why the material sound is like prostitute? What prostitute gives you? Pleasure, enjoyment, right? It's illusory pleasure, it's dirty pleasure, but it's enjoyment which she gives you. But what she takes from you? Money, yeah. Money, and usually the, you know, it's a usual custom among the prostitutes. She just, you know, gives the enjoyment to the client and then she robs him. So the explanation for this asat varta vyasya, that material sound robs you from the most important dhana, the wealth which you have. What is the most important wealth which you have? Spiritual what? Intelligence. The spiritual intelligence, the ability to discriminate between good and bad, between spirit and matter, between eternal and non-eternal. So this material sound robs you of this wealth which every one of us has. And therefore it is said, you know, that asat sanga tyaga vaishnava achar and so on and so forth, that the first problem which we experience is this prajalpa. And now we have this amazing, beautiful device for prajalpa. You know, Braj Bihari yesterday, he explained that you can be in a shack in Montana, somewhere. I don't know where Montana is, but it must be somewhere far away. And you can be alone there, but you can be engaged in prajalpa all day long if you have this beautiful thing, which is called computer, which is again a very nice creation to entangle you more and more and more. So this asad varta vyasya, this the material sounds coming again and again and again, and because of these material sounds, you develop material desires. The material desires are, you know, you first you are trying to cut off these material desires, right? Asanga Shastrena Dridena Chitvaya, and very detached, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But then the desire comes to your mind. Why don't we look in the internet? What's happening there? And then, you know, the counter process starts. What we are doing, actually, we want to reverse this process of material creation, but we also don't really want it. We want to remain here. So these two processes are going together, and you know, there is a war, there is a battle, there is a struggle inside our heart when the material sound and the spiritual sound fight with each other. The material sound which creates the material desires and the spiritual sounds which destroys the material desires, they fight. We chant Hare Krishna and we are free from material desires, but very soon, in half an hour later, Hare go, you know, all these weeds of material desires are there, you know, hey, Jai, Hare go. You know, this is what is going on. And Jiva Goswami says, therefore when we chant, we don't chant sincerely. We chant with duplicity. And this duplicity is the main dirt, the main contamination which is there in our chanting. He quotes Vishnu Dharma Purana and he says, as a swan does not like to stay in the muddy water, so Lord Krishna does not like to stay in a heart dirty with sinful desires. If the heart is dirty, Krishna is like swan. He will not stay there. And then he gives also a very interesting verse, quotes. He says, as a crescent moon covered by clouds cannot destroy the darkness, so a voice polluted with lies and other sins cannot properly offer prayers to Lord Krishna. In other words, when we pray to Lord Krishna, when we speak something, or when we chant Hare Krishna, if our voice is polluted with lie and other sinful desires, because again, as I said, the voice is coming ultimately from this subtle plane of desire. And if we chant Hare Krishna and don't really mean it, if we mean something else while chanting, this is offensive and Krishna doesn't hear this prayer. This is what is happening. The prayer does not become effective. And we can hear this, we can see this clarity or this purity of the voice is extremely important thing. It's a subtle thing, but therefore it is stressed again and again. Srila Prabhupada stresses it. You should hear the sound vibration from the mouth of spiritual master, from the mouth of pure devotee, which is coming from the pure consciousness. Like once Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and he was sitting there, and there was some Indian gentleman and some of his English disciples, and he started speaking in Hindi, and his English disciples stood up and wanted to walk out, and he said, where are you going? They said, Prabhupada, we don't understand Hindi. He said, stay here and listen Hindi, because the sound vibration will purify your heart. It doesn't matter that you don't understand anything, just listen to the sound vibration. Like sometimes Gorgavinda Maharaj, he was also, you know, he was torturing his white disciples by giving 3 hours lecture in Oriya. And everyone had to stay there and sit there. Because this is the, you know, like this year, there was a very interesting event in Russia. There was this, how you call this, Easter Eve service in the main church of Russia. And the patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, the main spiritual figure, was there. And the president of Russia also came to this service. It was during the night, you know, midnight, the time when Jesus Christ was supposed to be, you know, resurrected at that time. The most, you know, sacred moment in the life of every Christian, you know, this mystery of resurrection of Jesus Christ takes place. So this patriarch, he is doing his service and he's praying and giving some, you know, chanting some mantras, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, something, you know, some spiritual practice is going on, and he is pronouncing these mantras. And then all of a sudden, he stops. He turns to the president and starts glorifying the president. You know, you're so good, you're so nice, you're such a wonderful
devotee of the Lord, and you give us so much money, and you know, and you are such a powerful personality. And after that, there was an article, very interesting article, in the newspaper. The man, the journalist who wrote this article, he was disgusted, and he said, "Did you hear this voice? This guy, you know, he is there. He is supposed to pray to the Lord, and he's saying." And he said his voice was, you know, it was greasy. The voice was, you know, full of material greed. And he specifically mentioned this, the quality of the voice. He was speaking these words of flatter to the president, you know, because all the material desires just, you know, immediately reflected in this voice. So that's exactly what is happening with us. And therefore, but there is a solution for this, and the solution for this we know. What is the solution for this? Chant again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is, I will, and there is a very important thing. I will only touch it because I'm already late, so I will explain it tomorrow. But it is said, Jiva Goswami, he quotes Vedanta Sutra. And in Vedanta Sutra, it specifically said, Avritti Rasakrit Upadeshat. You have to repeat spiritual practices again and again and again. Why? Because of the offenses. Because of the offenses, you have to do Shravanam and Kirtanam and everything again and again and again. And then Jiva Goswami, he gives a very interesting analysis. He says, what is happening if someone is not careful about chanting mantra and he insists on making offenses? If he is offensively chanting with this false voice, with the voice which is full of material desires, which is very offensive kind of chanting, Jiva Goswami says there are five things which are happening in the human's heart. If you don't check this tendency, if you don't really, if you really allow to manifest this crookedness within your heart, if you allow it to enter within your prayer, within your chanting, then what happens? He says the five anats, five sins are coming within our heart. He says the first one, our tendency to be a liar, to be crooked, our crookedness becomes strengthened. Because we're all crooks, right? Somebody is a big crook, like me. Somebody is a small crook. But we're all crooks. It's a world full of crooks. And the crooks are trying to cheat one another. This is what is going on. The cheaters and the cheated. So, but he said the first is kautilyam. Kautilyam means crookedness. Kautilyam means duplicity. Kautilyam means this dishonesty. This is the first quality which is strengthened within the heart. And it's actually, it's very understandable. It's very easy to understand. If you chant with your vaikari vak, with your gross speech, and at the same time your desire are somewhere else, and your thoughts are somewhere else, if it's not in harmony, if they're not synchronized, if the desire are different and the thoughts are different, and you know, you're saying Krishna, 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 and thoughts are saying Maya, 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 and the desire is saying Kama, 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 Kama. So if you do this, then who you are? You are who? Cheater, you're crook. You're crook. So, therefore, he says that if you do it, then your tendency to be crooked becomes even more strengthened. If you're chanting but not checking this tendency, then you will fortify this tendency of yours. And then the second thing, you lose your face. You become totally atheistic. And we can also see this. You know, if somebody is chanting offensively, I will... Second is ashrada. Atheism. The third is the attachment to the things which destroy our spiritual practices. Bhagavan nishta chyava kavastva antara abhinivesha. You all understood what it means, right? The attachment to the things which destroy the faith or spiritual practices. The forcing is shaikhilya, which means laziness or slackness in your spiritual practices. And finally, the most amazing and most paradoxical, svabhaktya adi krita manitva, pride of your achievements in bhakti. This is what happened. This is actually the career of a Hare Krishna devotee who is not checking his offensive mentality. He starts with offensive chanting. He is not trying to stop this offensive chanting. He is not doing what is necessary. And he's, he's becoming more and more duplicitous. Duplicitous means he's doing it as a matter of, because of the social pressure or whatever, he's changing. He doesn't have any taste, he's working in computer and, doing all kinds of stuff, running here and there. And in the meantime, Hare Krishna, as if there is any meaning to this. So you can as well, just do something like this, And then you lose the face. You came with the very bright and actually very strong face. Srila Prabhupada imparted this face within your heart, but then you lose it. You become more atheistic. By offensive chanting, you can become an atheist. That's what Jiva Goswami says. Chanting may turn you into atheist. And I've seen this. I've seen this in examples of devotees, how they, by doing this for years, they would become total, complete, absolute atheists. And then after that, what happens after that, you develop, because you need something to enjoy, you develop the attachment to the things which are detrimental for devotional service. All of a sudden, the TV set appears in your little apartment. And of course, nobody knows about this, but you watch all this TV news. And then you become totally lazy and totally slack in your sadhana. And then as the crown jewel of your offensive chanting, you become very proud of your achievements in bhakti. This we have also seen, people, because they need to be proud about something. So, and because they are practicing pure devotional service in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because they are not bold enough to admit their defeat, or they're not bold enough to say that something is wrong, something went wrong somewhere, they become proud, very proud. I am such a big devotee, and I did so much. I did this and did that, and distributed this and this, and defeated this and that, and and I also, I was glorious temple commander in Villa Vrindavana or something like this, I don't know. So this is what is happening because of the offenses during the chanting. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for doing it so long. But I will continue tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.